If you will, please turn with me to point two of last week's sermon in Hebrews chapter 10. I want to read again Hebrews 10, 26 through 39, and we will consider this call to persevere, in Christ. Some of you who have RUF background will know Paige Benton. As she has said, it stands to reason that Jesus didn't keep the law perfectly for 30-something years, die, rise, and ascend into heaven just so we can do what we want and then go to heaven. You know, there is that kind of teaching and that kind of philosophy even within the church that we can say a prayer, we can have it our way, we can do whatever we want, and someday Jesus will take us to heaven. The Bible presents a very different picture, doesn't it? Oh, salvation is full, salvation is free. It is as simple as coming with heartfelt dependence upon Christ, confessing your sin, receiving Him. That is salvation. But it is a journey. Once we have committed the heart to Christ, the heart will be tested. The gospel shows us again and again that we must persevere in that which we profess. And it is that persevering in what we profess that shows the beauty of the possession of the wonder of the gospel. We are called to be persevering saints. Christianity is not easy, but it is ultimately good because God is good. And because He sees us to the end, we may say, I will walk to the end with Jesus. Let's hear God's word. Pray with me and let's consider His word together. Holy Father, we thank You for the privilege of having Your Word before us this morning. We thank You for the believers who have gone before us that display much of what we need to know about persevering in the faith. And we thank You for the Savior who persevered in life and in death, whom You have raised from the dead to be our champion in the faith. Help us to persevere in Christ as He has displayed the wonder of perseverance. Father, we know that You will take us through hard times, but we trust that You will bring us through to Yourself. Give us every confidence of our hope in Christ this day, and show us Yourself, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning at verse 26. For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy and the evidence of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has spurned the Son of God and has profaned the blood of the covenant by which He was sanctified and has outraged the Spirit of grace? For we know Him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge His people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But recall the former days when after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with suffering, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourself had a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay, but my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and persevere their souls. It was 10 months into World War II. Churchill was asked to come back and speak to his childhood alma mater. He was to speak at Harrow Hall. He was to speak in front of a group of young men who were students who were going through the same struggles and trials that he had gone through as a kid, but amidst a great war, World War II. As he stood to speak them, he gave them a 2-page speech. And in that speech, about halfway through, Churchill said, never give in. Never give in. Never, 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 never. Never in nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to apparently overwhelming might, the overwhelming might of the enemy. Never give in. When you are in war, you must never give in. In the Christian life, in the spiritual battle of life, we have a war that eclipses the Second Great World War. We have a struggle that eclipses that struggle. And the God of the universe comes and reminds us this day, never give in. Never, never, never give in. We need to have our hearts set upon the Savior. We must persevere. And perseverance takes endurance. And at times, it is hard to persevere, and Christ is with us even when we need to persevere, but we must hold fast. Never give in, beloved. You know, there are times in our Christian lives when we want to do just that, aren't there? There are times when we want to give in, when we feel the pain of the walk before us, the run before us, the race that is set before us, and we would soon just turn to the side. But the author has reminded us last week there is no escape from the living God. And he reminds us this week that we need endurance in the Christian life, that we must endure in the Christian life. When I was in high school, I was on the track team. That probably surprises some of you. I threw the shot put and the discus. That makes sense, doesn't it? When I was on the track team, one time my senior year, a couple of my friends and I, because we were seniors, we got to drive to a particular track meet, and we were late. And the event that we were to participate in had already happened, so our team got 0 points. The shot put event was over, and my coach was not happy. So he decided, as a just reward for showing up late, even though we tried to give all the excuses we could, that the three of us with one other person would run the 2-mile relay. We suited up for the 2-mile relay. Now, I was upset. I thought I had good reason for being late, and he should have just accepted that. It was really an excuse. He saw through the lie, so to speak. And so he put us on the team, but we were determined that we were going to show him. And so we got up and we ran the 2-mile relay, and lo and behold, we actually beat the best time of our existing team, the real 2-mile relay team. And as a reward, the coach said, good, you can run the 2-mile relay every time. You know, sometimes we might decide that we're going to show God, and then he reminds us that we will have to endure again and again and again, right? God is there for us. God is there with us. But beloved, don't let your heart grow complacent to the fact that the Christian faith is one that calls for endurance. The Christian faith is one that calls for persevering. Perseverance comes from the words to mean through suffering. There are challenges in our day, are there not? There are struggles before us. And when they come, our heart's desire is often to seek the easy path, isn't it? It's often to take the easier way, but God reminds us, do not turn back. Why is perseverance necessary in the Christian life? Perseverance is necessary in the Christian life because we must have Christ to be before God. We must have Christ to enjoy God. We must have Christ to live as God desires us to live, and so do not turn back on Jesus. But how do I persevere? The first question we answered in large part last week, but how do I persevere? That's what I want to answer this morning. How do I persevere in the Christian faith? It is by endurance. The one who has loved you most fully, Christ Jesus, it is perseverance. It is walking in his steps. It is pursuing Christ. It is keeping near and keeping up with our affections for the Savior who persevered before us, who has shown us the way, who loves us with an everlasting love and bids us come, follow, die to yourself and live to Christ daily. You see, there is in the text that reminder that we need Christ for the long haul. We need Christ because life can be grueling.
Jesus doesn't try to spare us of that. But He promises to see us through that. So this morning, we need to come and we need to be reminded that we are called to persevere. No matter what the world throws at us, no matter what Satan throws at us, no matter what assaults come, we are to persevere in the truth, in the knowledge, and in the love of the Savior, Jesus Christ. When the going gets tough, keep close to Christ. Persevere with hope. All that we have lived for will be made right in Christ Jesus. He promises it. Why? Because He is a God who gives us, verse 34, a better possession. He is a God who promises us that we will receive His promise, verse 36. No escape. Now, last week we spent a lot of time dealing with this very difficult passage in verse 26. We said it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Now, we're not going to be able to go back and tread the ground of all the difficult things. You can get the CD. They're in the back, or you can write a note and they'll make you a CD. But the point of the text there is no escape from the living God. You can only come into the presence of God the Father. You will only get there one of two ways. In Christ or in judgment. In Christ or in judgment. So when life gets tough, beloved, there's a stern warning in the text. The only way to the Father, the only way rightly to the Father is in Christ. So do not turn your back on Jesus. Do not walk out on the Savior. Hold fast to the Savior. Remember that heaven and hell are at stake in our relationship to the Savior with heartfelt gospel love. Gospel perseverance does not turn back on Jesus, but holds fast to Jesus amidst the trials. You see, deliberate desertion of Jesus would be to our own peril. There is no other way of salvation except through Jesus Christ. Therefore, gospel perseverance will not turn back. If you deliberately turn away from Jesus, you trample upon Him, you trivialize His work, and you find grave trouble with the Spirit. So therefore, our application, gospel perseverance does not turn back. Gospel perseverance holds fast and pursues Christ. Remain loyal to Christ, for eternity is ever before you. All that is sown in your life for the hope of the gifts of Christ will come to fruition. Believer, hold fast to Christ. Do not turn back. Which means that we have to slay the seeds of self-exaltation in our own hearts. If we are going to hold fast to Christ, if we are going to not turn back, we need something greater. We must slay the seeds of self-exaltation, and we must love the Savior and focus our hearts on the Savior. Now, I know there are people in this room who are in the dark night of depression. And sometimes when the emotions of your life take over, it's hard not to give in. It's hard not to turn back. But the Scriptures come and it reminds us that the Christian life is endurance. Hold fast to Christ. He will see you through. For some of us, it's the tough marriage. You're in the difficult point of marriage. It's hard not to give up. It's hard to honor in your vows, in your promises. But hold fast. Seek holiness even there. Follow Christ. It may not always be easy, but God makes things right. Pursue the Savior. Do not turn back on the Savior. For some of you, it may be the sin that you are struggling with. Maybe it's sensual or sexual. Maybe it is social. You know, in the categories of the sin in Paul's book, you can often see the two sins that the church often struggles with. Sins of sexuality and sins of the tongue or the social sins. You'll see him lay those out. You may be struggling with those sins. They may have you captured. Don't give up. Sometimes our sin would seek to defeat us and we would say, there's no way I can hold on now. Hold fast to the Savior. Don't turn back on Jesus. Even in your darkest moment, hold fast. Churchill, in World War II, it seemed as though there was no way that Britain could be saved. But his was the voice of encouragement again and again. We will never give in. Never give in. Never give in. The Savior reminds you to never give in. Do not turn back on Christ. He will hold you fast. He may take you through difficult times, but He will hold you fast. Profession plus perseverance displays the wonder of our salvation, the possession of the glory of God. We must persevere in the Christian faith. And that brings us to verse 32 and 30 through 39 here. And that is, there is the need for endurance in the Christian life. Needed endurance is a part of the Christian walk. One evening after I had read a while, this last week, I was having a difficulty going to sleep, and my wife had the Ironman, the Austrian Ironman triathlon on. Now, she fell asleep watching, but I continued to watch. You know, it's a little bit of an anomaly to me why anybody would want to swim 3 miles, bike 112 miles, and then run a marathon. I'm still working on getting that one. But it was interesting watching those who entered from 22 to 79. Somebody 79 years old began the Austrian triathlon this year. And as they began to move out and run, you know, the first guy was out of the water over 3 miles in 42 minutes. The guy who won the triathlon did the whole thing in 8 hours and 8 minutes. But you know, everybody in that race needed one thing. Everybody who pursued that race, who did that 140-odd miles, who did the whole thing, needed endurance. And what was interesting to me was to watch the faces for which it was a real struggle. For those who grimaced, and for those who came along and encouraged, and those who went along the way. In much of life, we need to remember that the Christian life is like the Ironman. It presses you on more than you think. I mean, I have a hard time running a mile. A few months ago, I ran a mile with my son. I about didn't make it. I thought I was going to faint and fall out. I have no endurance anymore when running. But, you know, I wasn't going to let him beat me. But he did. That's right. You did beat me, didn't you? The good thing about having your family here is they always keep you honest, you know. That's true. He sprinted at the end. I have selective memory when it comes to these things. And I didn't want to remember that, Joshua. But there is the need for endurance in the Christian life. There is the need for us to pursue Christ. And it's much like the Ironman. We must pursue again and again. And when our heads are thrown down because of the pain and the struggle, we must continually cast our eyes forward to the Savior. The soul of the believer needs encouragement to endure. And so the author is too wise to just give a warning. He gives a reminder of the beauty of what is to come. Notice in verse 34, there is a better possession for those who continue on. There is a better promise that will surely be yours as you continue on, but you need to endure. Notice there in verse 32, but recall the former days when after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with suffering. You have endured. Look back. He is telling the believers before him here as he writes this Hebrew Christian audience. He is reminding them, you have endured. But he doesn't just say, rest on your laurels. You have endured, so you must continue to endure. Don't give up. You didn't give up before. You kept trucking with Jesus. Now keep trucking with Him now. Keep trucking with the Savior. It will be worth it. Why? Because when you endured before, you knew you had a better possession. You knew that it was because of a better promise. Look back. It will help you to persevere, to hold fast, to strengthen your perseverance with remembrance. Now, that's an interesting phrase there. But recall the former days when after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with suffering. ESV there, the word struggle. NIV, if you have that translation, the word there for contest is the word in the Greek, athlesis, from which we get our word athletics. It is a word for a struggle or a contest. It is a word that means a concentrated effort on an event that is pursued. And that's what the Christian life is. It is a struggle at times. But recall, hold fast, remember, he's saying. Look back. Look back to what you've been through. And as you look back, you will see there why you held fast. And once you see why you held fast, you will know how to hold fast. Notice how they held on, how they persevered in the past here in verse 33 and 34. They persevered through pain. They persevered through prison. They persevered through the loss of their property. Notice there in verse 33, these are people who had dealt with the hardship of being believers in Christ Jesus. Sometimes being publicly exposed, verse 33, to reproach and affliction. Sometimes being partners with those thus treated. There was pain in their pursuit of Christ. They were persecuted for following the Savior. It would have been easier maybe to have turned back, but He reminds them that they persevered. They persevered through their pain. They even partnered with those who were in pain, but they persevered. Christian life brings pain, but persevere. The end is better. The end is worth it. The finish line has already been crossed by your Savior, and whatever pain is invested now, He has been through, and whatever pain is invested now, He will see you through to the end. Hold fast. Persevere through pain. But notice also, they persevered through prison. Notice they identified with those who were in prison, which was a dangerous thing in that day, particularly because they were seen as enemies of the state. When their friends or family were cast into prison, that almost meant certain death. You know, when we think of prison, how many of y'all want to go to prison? Like to spend just the holidays in prison? Man, nobody wants to do that, right? But imagine they were cast into prison, and it wouldn't be a good thing now. But at least you know if you were thrown into the detention center downtown, you'd at least get three meals a day. Not so in the first century. If you were cast into prison, there was no food, no water, no clothing, unless it was supplied by family and friends. You were left there to die. If you didn't have someone to help support you, that was it. That was your sentence. But notice they identified with those who were in prison. They cared for them. They took them the food, the water, the necessities of life. They identified with them. But as they did that, what does that mean for them? I mean, they opened themselves to the potential of being thrown into prison. These are people who persevered through pain, persevered through prison, but they also persevered with regards to their possessions. Notice in verse 34 there, "For you had compassion on those who were in prison." That word for compassion there, by the way, is you had fellow feelings with them. You shared in their experience. You had fellow feelings with those in prison. "And you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property." Why? "Since you yourself knew that you had a better possession." But notice here, that what did they lose? They lost their own property. You know, just think, we become enemies of the state here in Bryan College Station. You say that could never happen. Well, it happens in the world around us. In Turkey, 2 weeks ago, before the Pope got there, 2 weeks ago, two guys were arrested. Why? Because they had just converted to Christ. The offense, they were told, the legal offense was that it was an offense against their Turkishness. According to those who follow, they may lose everything for following Christ. In Indonesia, a couple of weeks earlier than that, about a month ago, a pastor was in a tile factory. He was walking around looking for some tile for his house. Somebody shot him in the head. Why? Because he was a Christian teaching Christianity. A Muslim dissident fired upon him. In China, a 28-year-old evangelist and a 34-year-old evangelist were just imprisoned. Why? Because they were following Christ and speaking of Christ. It happens around the world. Now, we hope that it doesn't happen here, but what if we became enemies of the state and they took over this building, the new building that we're about to build? You know, I might be one of the first to go. Maybe they take my house, too. But maybe they take your house. 30 years you've been spending, working, taking care of this house. What would it be like to give up your property? What would it be like to lose it all? Notice how they responded. When their property was plundered, notice there the qualifier, "You joyfully accepted the plundering of your property." Would you be joyful about that? For the name of Christ, could you be joyful about that? That's one of the things that separates the believer and the non-believer that the author is saying here. Unbelievers can press through hard times too, right? But only a believer can do that with joy. Only a believer can handle that with joy if his heart is set upon something more. The why? Because there is a greater possession. And there is an abiding one at that. Notice the why of their perseverance. Why would they persevere? Because they had a better possession. Now that speaks of the quality of that possession, right? They may have had a home here that they lost, but there is a greater home to come for the believer. As a matter of fact, it's already set for us. We have a heavenly place. But it is not only that we have a better possession in heaven, we have an abiding one in heaven. That speaks to the duration. It is ongoing. There is something that no one can steal from you, dear one in Christ. They cannot steal from you that which God gives. They will not steal from you the life and the promise and the end that He gives. Therefore, you need endurance. You need to endure in Christ. In the long race of the Christian life, we must see that we are heirs to a better promise, an abiding one, one that is of great quality, the best, and one that is of long duration, eternally, and we must rest in Christ. What God gives is better than what the world offers, and it lasts longer than anything that the world can give. Therefore, gospel perseverance keeps eternity's values in view. That's really what the author wants you to do. What he wants me to do this morning is he wants us to keep eternity's values in focus. The whole reason he asks you to remember and to live vicariously for the moment as you look back on the sufferings of those who have gone before you is that he wants us to keep eternity's values in view. But notice the gospel perseverance defeaters are the same for us that they were for them, right? What could have turned them away from Christ? Well, pain could have, right? Suffering. What could have turned them away from Christ? Losing their standing, being thrown in prison for what they... Well, that can happen to us, right? What could cause us not to persevere? It's our stuff, right? The loss of property. Those things that can defeat our perseverance are the same as what we see in this passage. We can turn back. We can fail to follow and endure. Why? Because it might be that we are threatened with suffering. Or we're threatened with the loss of standing in a community. Or we're threatened with the loss of our stuff. We need to remember that those aren't the eternal things. That it's relationship to Christ. That is the eternal thing. So when we're threatened, when we suffer, will you turn back? Or will you hold fast? Will you see what is present? Or will you hold fast to what Christ gives? It is our call. Even in suffering, even in hardship, to hold fast to the Savior. Or when your standing is threatened, would you sacrifice your name and your life for Christ? Remember, He sacrificed His name and His life for you with the promise that He will make it better. Your stuff. You know, one of the easiest ways or the greatest struggles I see us struggle with perseverance is with our stuff, right? It was Demas who was a follower of the gospel, seemingly. He seemed to pursue the right path. He seemed to begin the right way. He was one who walked with Paul, but became a very destructive force. Why, Paul said? Why did he turn back? Because he loved this present world. You got to be careful. Stuff's not bad. Whatever your stuff is, it's not bad. But it's not to be worshipped, right? Those are perseverance defeaters. And we are called to persevere. We must set our heart now. Even for most of us, though times are good, we must set our hearts to persevere and to focus, to walk through everything for the sake of Christ as we rest upon Him, to trust Him. You know, our stuff, Madison, it's interesting that in our culture, people want to explain away hell, right? In the world at large, I've heard it three times this week, not in conversations, but in things I read, three people trying to explain away hell. It's interesting to me that people want to explain away hell in our day when that's exactly what Madison Avenue is always selling us. It's always selling us hell, and that's why you need something more, right? I'm in fat hell. Because I turn on the TV, and what do I see? I see an ad there that says, what diet pill is worth $153? Not for those of you with just a little vanity, 5 or 7 pounds, right? But those who are 50 pounds overweight. Yeah, where's Pastor Wade? Well, Pastor Wade's in fat hell. And what's the world's answer? It comes in a pill. Now, some of you might say, well, that's not where I am. Well, maybe you're in car hell. You know, my kids are playing this game, Gran Turismo, is that right? So they, you know, a race car game, you know. And so now they know what all the cool cars are. It'd be great, Dad, to have a Lamborghini. I was in Houston. We went down to see Lindsay, and you can continue to pray for Lindsay and the babies. But we had gone down to see them, and as we were coming back, I pulled up in my little jalopy, and there was a Lamborghini. And I realized, I'm not cool. I'm in a minivan. I'm in car hell. You know, the world has an answer. It will sell you on what is better, what is good. I could name them again and again. There are all kinds of materialistic things. There are all kinds of better lifestyle things. There are all kinds of things that the world will sell you. But none of them can give you the eternal. Set your eyes upon eternity. It is eternity's values that matter in the gospel. And it is that which is yours in Christ Jesus. Beloved, hold fast to the Savior. Look back. Remember what He's brought you through, and you will see that He will see you to the end. The author is telling His people, and He's telling us this morning. But He's also reminding us to live now. Live now. Stand on the promises in trial. Stand on God's promises. Look back there at verse 36. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. Notice what is promised. It is the wonder of the Christian life. And you need continual endurance. There is no one in the room, not one of you in this room right now, who has the luxury of not enduring. We must all endure in Christ. We must all hold fast. You need continual endurance. You have endured, but you need to continually endure, we're told here. Perseverance, someone has said, is courage stretched out. The author says, do not lose your confidence in Christ. Do not lose your confidence. You must live with confidence and courage in the promise that is yours in Christ Jesus. That is what we are called to pursue. Preserve perseverance, courage stretched out. We must seek Jesus and we must keep on with Him. Why? Because life is hard sometimes. And our metal will be tested. And it will be tough. But He is good. And He will see us through. I like the way John Piper has put it. He has said what we need is heart Christianity. He has said that we need coronary Christians and not adrenal Christians. Listen to this explanation from John Piper. Not that adrenaline is bad. It gets me through a lot of Sundays. I can identify. But it lets you down on Mondays. The heart is another kind of friend. It just keeps on serving through good days and bad days, happy and sad, high and low, appreciated and unappreciated. It never lets me down. It never says, I don't like your attitude, Piper, I'm taking the day off. It just keeps humbly love-dubbing along. Coronary Christians are like the heart in the causes they serve. Adrenal Christians are like adrenaline. They serve in spurts of energy and then with fatigue. We are marathoners, not sprinters, people who find the pace to finish the race. Let us be coronary Christians. Let us hold fast. His name was Thomas Bilney. One of the reasons you have a Bible before you is because of the life of Thomas Bilney. In 1531, he was burned at the stake. Why? Because he believed that everybody in his congregation should have a Bible, and he was working towards that end. As he was being martyred, as he was put to his death, a young man named Hugh Latimer stood in the crowd, and as he watched this man be burned for his convictions, he said, I want to know something that's worth dying for. Began to study Christianity. Became a bishop and then an archbishop. And as he studied more the Word of God, he wanted the people to have the Word of God. He began some reforms within the church and began to share the Word of God. And when Bloody Mary came to the throne, he was sentenced to die. When he was put upon the stake, he was put upon the stake with another bishop, another archbishop named Mr. Ridley. And when they were burning, Hugh Latimer said to Ridley, be of good cheer, Master Ridley. Today we shall light a flame in England that no one will be able to put out. That is perseverance. That is one who sees the better possession, not the earthly possession. And beloved, we must hold fast to the better possessions of the gospel. Why? Because ultimately gospel perseverance will be rewarded. Know that the big payout, we have a lot in Christ right now. We have the wonder of being able to worship and to have the knowledge of Christ now. But the big payout is yet to come. Don't sacrifice. Don't turn back. Hold fast. The heart Christian, the coronary Christian, delights to hold fast to Christ. There are many things that will seek to turn you. You know, it may be in your work. Because of unethical practices in your work, you may be passed over because you don't accept what you have to do to make the almighty buck, and so you get passed over. Remember, where is your treasure? Jesus tells us, where is our treasure to be? Chapter 6 of Matthew 19 and 20, where is our treasure to be? Treasure is in heaven. Don't store up all your treasures here. Store them up in heaven. Don't sacrifice then for now. Your treasure is in heaven. In school, you know, it'd be easy at a place like Blinn or Texas A&M or Bryan High School to find out. I mean, some of y'all are students like I was. You figured out what the professor wanted. That's the easiest way to make an A, right? It's not to learn all the material. Sorry, isn't that right, Jack? Some students just figure out the professor. If I can figure what the professor wants, then I can get through. You know, and so you can write your paper knowing what he wants, and so you write it to get an A. Don't sacrifice the now. I mean, don't sacrifice the then for the now. Remember, it's not just getting an A. It is your life. It is your testimony. It is the wonder of the gospel. Learn well. Focus your heart on persevering in the gospel. Beloved, we could do it again and again and again where our hearts need perseverance. But the reminder is this. There is reward for those who persevere in the gospel, and it is good. It is glorious. And so I say to you again, with the words of Churchill ringing, because it is the gospel call to perseverance, never give in. Never give in. Never, never, never give in. Never in nothing great or small, large or petty. Do not give in, beloved. Hold fast to Christ. The reward is wondrous because the gospel is wondrous. Hold fast to your Savior, for He is holding you. You might say, Wade, why would I hold on? Sometimes it doesn't feel like holding on helps. Not because of feeling. You know, beloved, the only way you will hold on is if the gospel stays great before you. Maybe you're asking, why is He talking about perseverance this morning? I don't even want to consider that. But the beauties of the gospel are ours. Received in faith, lived in faith. That's where the author's going, by the way. There's a great cloud of witnesses who has gone before us, who knew that faith in Christ, the beauty of the gospel, was the answer. Beloved, hold fast to that. Never give in. Never give in. The bounty and the beauty of Christ are ours. He has procured it. Let us walk with Him to the end. Pray with me. Father, we thank You for the hope that is ours in Christ Jesus. And we ask, Father, that You would help us to delight all the more in following You. Help us to take and to heed the stern warning and the remarkable reply of our author as we hold fast to the Savior. We thank You that You have bid us draw near and that You have made every provision for us that we may draw near. And Father, as we draw near, we pray that You would keep us in step with the Spirit, that we may keep near the Savior. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.